Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you to this midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in as always. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell as a way of staying current with the ministry, we would certainly appreciate that. In this video, I want to piggyback on something that a friend of mine, Nate Coinga with Hope Under Fire, a video he put out earlier or this past weekend, titled Beware the Numbers Con. And in this video, Nate uses some satire and parody to address a growing issue and what I perceive to be a growing problem within pro-King James defense of using numerology, gematria, Kabbalism, and other tactics to try to defend the King James Bible. And so Nate was kind of doing a parody in this video, and what I want to do is kind of show an example of what Nate is getting at as far as a hardcore, hard and fast example of what he was trying to parody in his video. Now, I want to draw your attention to a book that came out just recently, November of this year, so this month. It's called 1611, Called of God to Translate the King James Bible. Psalm 29:4, the voice of the Lord is full of James-esty. And this is by G. John Rove, the pen name of Gary Roverino with the King James Bible Museum in Phoenix, Arizona. And you can see this is a book full of miracle wonders and signs promoting the authority of the King James Bible. Now, let me just say, I am a King James advocate. I believe the King James Bible is God's word for English-speaking people. I don't believe there's errors or mistakes in it, but I don't believe in defending the King James Bible using some of the tactics and strategies that are advocated for in this book. And chapter 14 is titled English, the Destination Language for the Bible. And the argument that is being advanced in this particular chapter is that English is an outgrowth of Latin, which was an outgrowth of Greek, which was an outgrowth of Hebrew. And so it's argued in this chapter that the seed of the Hebrew grows into the seed of the Greek, grows into the seed of the Latin, and ultimately culminates and manifests in God's destination, English, where God finished the Bible. So again, the name of the chapter is English, the Destination Language for the Bible. Okay. Now, a lot of things are said in this particular chapter, but here's an example of the kind of math and numbers that are engaged in here, okay? So, as the main point of this chapter is to advance this idea of English being the destination language and growing out of the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, we encounter stuff like this, right? By teaching the disciples to appeal to God our Father, which art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name, Jesus was teaching them to recognize their Father based on heaven's gold standard of the 1611 King James Bible. So when Christ says this to the apostles in Matthew during the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, he's teaching them to recognize the King James Bible as the gold standard. Something just fell, so sorry about that. Hallowed be thy name is synonymous with whose name is holy. Now watch, recall this from chapter 3 of this book. Now notice what is engaged in here. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And now we have this math to make this work out to be 1611. And it's unclear how this math works. And then behind my window here, it says, when God speaks of the unlimitedness of his name, such as here, that inhabiteth eternity, God always reveals himself with the 1611 King James Bible, has always identified himself to Israel as 1611. Here is his great introduction by name to Moses at the burning bush. And then in the next section, he gets into the I am that I am passage in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. And notice he calls this the pi passage, okay? And it's the pi passage because pi, the number pi, as most of you know, is notice Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Okay, this is the EPUB here. So anything that's off is because of the EPUB. And this is the Pi 3.1415. So notice that Exodus 3, 14 through 15. Aha, Pi 3.1415. Okay. So this is revealing something about God, that this is the Pi address. Okay. And then notice this part right here. Then he's talking about how he's going to get into 8 digits of Pi. And you come over here and notice Pi equals 3.1415. That's the address of the M that I am verse at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through verses 14 through 15. And then you have 9. Aha, 9 is 1 plus 6 plus 1 plus 1 equals the King James Bible. 26, this is 26 letters in the English alphabet. So once again, the diagramming looks difficult, but it's not. It's simple. The beginning of Pi corresponds to Exodus 3, 14 and 15, where God reveals his name as I am that I am. This is immediately followed by the number 9, which is the summation of 1 plus 6 plus 1 plus 1, revealing the 1611 King James Bible. We learn the summation of 9 in this book, chapter 4, page 16. This is immediately followed by a 26 representing the 26 letters in the English alphabet. Phenomenal. Jesus was indeed teaching his disciples in Matthew 6, 9 to petition the Father on the holy ground of the 1611 King James Bible, even as he did Moses. He goes on teaching the disciples how to pray. And then more is said in this particular chapter. So we could look at this part right here. Jesus reminds his disciples, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, takes us right back to Adam and Eve when they were originally tempted by the serpent to forfeit the golden seed from heaven of the 1611 King James Bible for another translation. So Adam and Eve, apparently, based upon the argumentation in this book, had the 1611 King James Bible that they laid aside in favor of, you know, Satan's alternative translation. And he talks about how there's two alternative translations, one by Eve and one by the adversary. But Jesus had now come to restore the 1611 King James Bible. So Jesus is restoring the 1611 King James Bible in Matthew when he teaches the apostles to pray like this for his inbounding kingdom, and would be using the disciples praying this way through the mystery of prayer to do so. Actually, anytime anyone is quoting this prayer, they are praying for Jesus to return with his 1611 King James Bible to rule his kingdom, whether they like it or not. The kingdom could not be consummated without English, which would come last to complete the scriptures in maturity. Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and lastly English, and this is and that which is last is replaced by nothing. When the kingdom of Jesus comes, the gold standard of heaven will be the gold standard of the whole earth forever. If you say that neither Moses nor Israel at large, nor even the disciples in the day of Christ, could have begun to comprehend the 1611 identity of God and the 1611 King James Bible, to this I say amen. So the author of this book knows things that Moses and the apostles didn't know, based on all of this math and so forth that is being argued for in this chapter. Jesus often spoke of other people's heads, but he spoke nonetheless. This is meant to be given to Israel according to Zephaniah 3:9 at the return of Jesus, when they would be no more children, but grow up and come out from under tutors and governors. You, however, the church, who are not under tutors and governors, but are in the time appointed of the Father, even 400 years past 1611, have no excuse. I would truly anguish to be one who did not believe, or worse, mocked, or worse yet, went to war against the King James Bible, only to see Christ exalting it in his millennial reign for his thousand-year kingdom. So Gary, the author of the book, knows things that the apostles and Israel didn't know. And God was leading them and teaching them that they through these hidden, you know, things that they should be looking for, the 1611 King James Bible. Now, look, I'm a King James defender. I'm a King James advocate. I'm not at war with the King James Bible. I don't mock and scoff at the King James Bible. But I think that the cause of truth is not aided by unsound arguments. And I don't find any of this to be compelling. I find all of this to be based on extra-biblical revelation and mystical insights into the Scriptures. What verse of the King James Bible teaches somebody that they should look for these patterns and moreover base any biblical interpretation on these patterns? And this is fundamentally at brass tacks. This is an allegorical method of interpretation. And this line of reasoning to defend the King James Bible is not going to convince scoffers and skeptics that they need to lay aside modern versions and pick up a King James Bible, because it's mystical. There's more stuff in this particular book than I'm caring to address in this particular video. Nate and I are working on a project coming out in hopefully the near future, where we dissect some of the argumentation in a bit more detail. But for now, I just wanted to make this quick video to piggyback on what Nate said, and to show an example of where this type of numbers arguments are being used to say wildly outlandish things. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, you need to rely and trust exclusively on his shed blood for you on the cross, his resurrection from the grave after 3 days and three nights. God loves you. Christ died for your sin. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to satisfy the offended justice of God so that he could offer you eternal life as a free gift. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.